Well, as we mentioned during our prayer time there, that we were going to be finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. So this is chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, beginning with verse 24 this evening. So Matthew 7, 24. Kind of seen these interesting pairs as we've gone through. There's the narrow way, the broad way, prophets that are the good tree, the good fruit, the bad fruit, we've been seeing these pairs, these things paired up, and I'm glad, as we mentioned before, that God makes it so simple for us that it's not, you know, we have two things to choose, you know, God's way or the other way. And it's not complicated. And here's a similar, a truth too that we're going to talk about tonight. I trust that God is going to very clearly speak to us tonight. There's very specific things I think we can hear from the Lord tonight. It says, in verse 24, it says, "Therefore, Jesus speaking, whoever hears these sayings of mine." So he's kind of taking chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, and kind of wrapping all of it up into this little portion of verses 24 through 27. "Therefore, all of these things that have been spoken," everything that's been said prior, "whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Those last two verses are interesting because his approach in teaching seemed so different in that he was speaking with authority. So this is, when we went through this, there was a little spots where he'd say, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." That's the kind of thing that drew a lot of their attention. They were very drawn to that because there's all these things that are said, and what the prophet, not the prophets, but the scribes and the Pharisees and stuff, they would quote each other. That was how they spent all their time. They would quote each other and say, "Well, you know, Rabbi so-and-so says..." And then they say, "Well, Rabbi so-and-so says," and they spend all their time comparing these things. And so it was never based on their own personal experience or authority, but Jesus spoke that way because he is God. And he said, "No, you've heard this said, but this is what I say. This is how it really goes. This is what it really means. This is what's really intended." So you kind of see that in these. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because that kind of is clear enough on that portion in this, because I really want to take some time and kind of develop this verses 24, 25, 26, and 27, because there's some parallels. If you've noticed, there was a comparison, right? It's a direct comparison. First comparison we see is that both groups of these, there's two groups, right? There's the foolish and the wise, right? We see that clearly. Both have something in common in that they both are hearing the same thing. This is very important. They're hearing it. They're hearing the same thing. It says in verse 24, whoever hears, and then you find in verse 26, but everyone who hears, so they're all hearing, they're getting the same information, basically, right? The next thing you notice is that another commonality, and I think this is oftentimes missed by people. It's very straightforward to us here, but it's oftentimes missed. it rains, the Bible says, on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. That's important to note. The guarantee is that there's going to be storms. Whether you're following the Lord or not following the Lord, there's going to be storms. The idea is many times people feel like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to, you know, follow God now, and this, I've just entered the rose garden of life, and everything's going to be great, except for you forget about what's on thorn bushes, what's on rose bushes is the thorns, right? So it's this idea that it's not all just this, everything's just going to go great, everything's perfect. No, all of us as Christians have, sometimes you're opening up, getting into more, having more issues than you had before. That's often the case for us as Christians. But the idea is that if there's a storm, it's the guarantee is there's going to be storms for all of us. The issue is what type of structure are you building, and what is the structure built on? So they, in that part of the world, you know, it's deserty. It can become, the soil can become very hard during certain seasons and seem very stable. But when it rains, all of a sudden it kind of turns into this muck, and it's very unstable. And any structure built on this, any of these little, you know, kind of not, they're not adobe houses, but they're like that kind of concept. This structure that they would build on it as a little home to live in. Now it's, that all the time that they spent to build that, everything, they didn't put it on a stable foundation. And so when the storms that do happen in life come, and this is figurative, you understand that, right? It's a figurative idea, but it's a very literal truth. When the storms come, it's unstable. Now, when we would go I'd get a hold of the bulldozer, and they'd come out, and we'd mark out, you know, the parameters to build for the home. We'd dig down, and we'd get down till we found, if I hit certain types of clay bed or anything, I wouldn't build on that. I would build down until I was on solid. It had to be at least a certain composite, even if it was some clay, because sometimes it was hard to avoid. There had to be enough rock within the clay in order for it to be stable enough to put a structure on. Because what happens is when you pour the foundation, you know, the footings for the foundation, you put these footings down, and then the foundation goes on the footings. When you put this down, it doesn't matter how much concrete you use. It doesn't matter any of that. I've had to bore down and put 6-8 foot pillars in with rebar and concrete pillars to support the rest of the footing, because it was going to be unstable for the foundation and the weight of the structure, because the weather happens, right? We watch it here. I mean, you can have the most awesome home. But I'll tell you what, if we get a certain amount of rain, and we've had a certain amount of dry spell, because it's expansion and contraction that happens within the soil in our part of the country, it can create an unstable structure, and it can also cause a lot of leaking in basements and so on. Many of us know how that can go. So the idea is there's certain guarantees, and that is that there's going to be storms. Everybody's got kind of the same general information, but it's, if you notice this, one does, they hear these things and does them. They're doing what they're hearing. These are now the comparisons of what's different. They're hearing this, but they're doing what they're hearing. They're doing something with that. But the person that does not do that suffers great loss. Their structure's unstable. So this is the same truth. If we hear God's word and are not applying that truth in our lives, we're going to have an unstable structure spiritually, and it's not going to be able to withstand the storms of life, because there's going to be storms in our lives that occur. It's different than a structural, you know, than just rain and wind and stuff. You know, a structure is a structure, right? But man, your life, your marriage, your family, all these things that you're building up, friendships and all these things. Man, these things are very, very important, much less our relationship with the Lord. So we know there's these guarantees regarding this. of weather. There's also that commonality that, again, I want to draw out and really want to spend some time on. It says, whoever hears. Both parties are hearing things. So this gets really important. Will you turn with me? We're not going to bounce around a whole bunch tonight, but will you turn with me to chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel? Chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel. Because there's some truth in here, and it'll take a little bit of time to build into this, but if you stay with this, this is going to prove to be very profitable for you in your walk, very profitable for me in my walk with the Lord. I found these things to be very true. This whole chapter is dealing with the Word of God. Luke chapter 8, it's all dealing with the Word of God. Now, it came to pass afterward, in verse 1 of chapter 8, that Jesus went through every city and village, preaching and bringing or proclaiming the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. It's great. It's good news. Glad tidings. It's not bummer tidings. It's not sourdough tidings. It's good news. It's glad tidings. And so he's bringing this good news, and the 12 were with him. The disciples were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. So, interesting, we spend a lot of focus on healings and our thoughts. We all see on the commercials. I mean, it's almost like every other commercial is some wonder drug, except when you listen for a while and you listen to these wonder drugs, man, I'm thinking, gosh, I don't want any of these side effects. I mean, it's like you listen to that and you think, man, that's worse than the first problem that you're taking this thing for. Who wants any of that? You know, it's just interesting to listen to. But we are certainly very focused as a society on all of the infirmities of life, the illnesses and the remedies, and oh my goodness, it's just, and it's a billion, billion, billions of dollars industry, right? No doubt about it. Anyhow, we won't spend too much time on that thought, but we get it. We want the healing. We understand there's infirmities, but it's interesting that what comes before that says, healed of evil spirits. There is something connected to that. Oftentimes, and the things that are happening there, we kind of bypassed some of that evil spirit aspect. Jesus but dealt with that directly. Many issues stem from demonic activity. I'm not saying all sickness, that somebody has a coldness, the devil. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there are a lot of things that are connected, though, to a spirit realm. And that's very true. And Jesus addressed that. Because even here he says, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. This is one person who was perceived to have likely been a harlot. That is likely possible. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. So this gal was of very high means. Obviously, Mary and her seven demons were not of that, but you've got then Susanna and many others who provided for him from their substance. It's interesting that Jesus, this collection of women, was a unique bunch. And then think about what they did as they came alongside and helped out. And some people think, it's so demeaning, you know, to be doing just menial tasking and stuff. And I think we all should do some menial tasking. It's good for us. But think of the note here in the scriptures and the names mentioned for their menial tasking. God saw it as very significant. Our world isn't always seeing things the right way because God sees this as very significant. So no matter what you do or any of that, God sees it as significant. Let's keep moving. And in verse 4, and when a great multitude had gathered, again, remember he's preaching and proclaiming, bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. This is all about this proclamation of the word, the good news. And when the great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city, and he spoke by a parable. A sower, he says, went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. some fell, verse 6, another group, some fell on rock, rocky soil. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded a crop a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried. Now, he didn't cry, you know, wah, wah, cry, right? And he wasn't just yelling at anybody. It wasn't that kind of a cry. It was more, they used to call them town criers, but, you know, they kind of ring the bell and say, you know, 10 o'clock and all is well, you know, that kind of thing, you know. So he's just kind of, it's a, like a proclamation thing. You know, he's just kind of stating this information and throwing it out there. But he says, he calls out basically in that sense. And he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Sometimes we think that this is just this exhortation. Hey, listen up, would you? You know, that's not what it is. It's a tune in with spiritual ears and discern what is being said. It's different. So it's not just the challenge, though it could be implied that there is some challenge associated with it. But he's basically saying, if you want to hear, then you need to listen, then hear this. If you want to hear, this information's here. Basically, it's that kind of idea. This gets very important. Then the disciples asked him, saying, and this, if you haven't, would you please circle this in your Bible? This is a key to your walk. This is helpful to the rest. Every day that you walk this earth, this will be helpful to you. Jesus, as you read the word, is going to be speaking things. He is the word of God. He's going to be speaking from Genesis through Revelation. He's going to be speaking to us. But the thing is a lot of times we read it and it's like, what in the world? You know? I don't even know, you know, what this means or what are we talking about. Look at that. What does a follower, is it a disciple's a follower's a disciple. A disciple is simply stated is a consummate learner. That's what it means to be a disciple. I'm just constantly learning. And what he says here is, what does this parable mean? That is a key to your journey and my journey. Asking Jesus, what does this mean? When you read something, just ask Jesus, what does this mean? I even, when I think I understand what I'm reading, ask Jesus, Jesus, what should I know from this today? What would you have? It's not the mass amount that you and I read. It's that are we hearing what is being said to us? That's what's so important. That's what's so important. He says here, as they ask, what does this parable mean? And he said, this is Jesus' response. To you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In other words, I'm glad you asked. If that's what Jesus would say to, I am glad you asked because I want to tell you what this means. God's not trying to, this isn't this giant riddle thing or some horrible, you know, million piece small puzzle thing that we're trying to put together called be a Christian and follow Jesus. It's not like that. It's not overly complicated. He wants to give us the information. He wants to walk with us and help us. But he says, those, as you're as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To all, each one of you, it has been given to know these mysteries. He wants to reveal this to us. Look at this though. He says, but to the rest, it is given in parables. A parable is this. It means to cast alongside, to throw alongside. So it's like this storyline. It's not a story, but it can be in story form. It's got truth. It's got this truth, but it's this idea that's being tossed out there to give this thought process to get people thinking about something. And so a parable is both meant to reveal and to conceal. To reveal to us, to those who want to know, to reveal. To conceal from those who really aren't interested or don't want to know. In other words, if you're looking for truth, you're going to hear the truth. If you're not looking for it, if you're not interested in it, it's kind of shielded. It's just not quite there. This is what he says. He uses Isaiah 6:9. Jesus quotes it. He says, seeing, he says, to them, to the rest, it's been given in parables that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Well, that doesn't seem fair. So Jesus is saying, okay, so for some people they're going to get it and some people aren't going to get it. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying for those who want truth, they're going to get it. They're going to understand. They're going to hear the truth. Those who really aren't looking for truth, it's kind of shrouded from them. Why? Because there's also a scripture as we go on a little bit further out of Luke 12:48, and it says, to whom much is given, much more is required. Jesus knows that. So you and I are going to be required with the light that we have, the understanding that we have, we are to walk in that. Now, we want to have more. We want to understand. We want to, this is why we asked that question. But it's also going to be important for us to walk in that. We're going to get a little bit further along in this. He explains this. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. This gets very critical as we go through this. The seed that's being thrown out, the thing that's being shared is the word of God. That's what's going on. That's what's being tossed out there when he's given this. And it's very good for us to see this. There's four different, I think you could say, dispositions or four different people groups in this. But for sure, either one, because we could fall prey to any of these in a given day or throughout the course of a day. There are those by the wayside. Notice wayside is the key with this, are the ones who hear. Again, every one of these four are going to hear, just like what we just talked about in the two builders, right? They were building their house. They both heard, right? Just like these groups. They all heard. They hear. They hear this word. This is the seed of the word of God. They're hearing it. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. This is, they get ripped off by the enemy. Basically, the wayside is like, there, it's the people walking along and they hear this, oh yeah, that's interesting, that's cool. And they kind of just jump on the bandwagon, maybe you could say, jump on the bandwagon, or they just kind of, this is a popular vantage point right now. So they embrace that or jump on board with it, right? But there's no real depth to it. There's no real, nothing really great happening. God wants to do something good for them, but they're just kind of on this popular path, basically. And then the enemy comes, takes away the word out of their hearts, kind of snatches it, and it's gone. Something controversial comes up, those kind of things. Mark chapter 4 also does good on this portion as well. But the ones in verse 13 on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, and again, they hear the same word, receive the word with joy. They're enthusiastic, they're excited about it. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. They do believe it, but it's just for a while. They're enthusiastic, they're excited about it, but it's very short-lived. There's no real depth of root, nothing really going down deep to anchor them in the soil of God and his heart to know and to be clean, you know, to be sturdy. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. This is interesting. This is interesting. So this group means that there are those who begin to show development and have fruit in their lives. This is interesting. There begins to be something developing. God's really doing something in the hearts of this group. But then the cares. So this can be, oh, how am I going to deal with that? Or, they get, what about? And, oh no, they get caught up in the what ifs and what abouts and all this. And the cares of everything. And it kind of chokes this new life of what God's wanting to do out. And then there are those who have great wealth sometimes, or come into wealth, and then all of a sudden they're so obsessed with keeping track of and dealing with it, or they're obsessed about their resources and what to do with their resources and everything, that absorbs all of their time, and that chokes. So in other portions, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That's I think Mark's chapter 4's rendition of this same portion. But then this other group, there's the cares, I need things and I'm obsessed with what I don't have. The other is, I've got so much of this that I'm too busy for God. And the other is pleasure seekers. What am I going to do? You know? People ask me about, you know, raising a family. This is a great part of the country to raise a family by comparison to some parts of the country. Where I grew up, man, it was just, there was so much you could do all the time that it was hard to stay focused on anything. I didn't know whether we were going to go out in the desert and go on dune buggies or dirt bikes, or whether we're going to go snow skiing, or whether we're going to go surfing, or whether we're going to, you know, and it all sounds great and it was fun and all that, but it's very distracting to the things that really matter. You know, you aren't cultivating a lot of the things that you could cultivate if you took the time to cultivate it in life. So this idea of pleasures of life and you know, what am I going to do? Too much of things and too much pleasure seeking is a big absorption of time. It really eats up a lot of time. So you work real hard and you buy this boat. Boats are cool. I like boats. I own a few different boats. I like boats. But boating's fun. But it can't be your God. You don't want it to be in your God, and you don't want it to interfere with your relationship with God. But the idea is it can. All of a sudden, now I'm gonna go, if I get down there a little bit earlier, I get my boat in there, it's better if I'm there early, so now I'm gonna miss church, and I'm gonna, you know, and you just start, priorities start shifting. And again, we could take motorcycles, we could take any other hobby you want. It's pleasure seeking. It's not wrong to do or enjoy any of those things for any of us. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just got to be, keep it in a right priority so that one isn't overtaking you. We want God to be God in our lives and everything else to fit in that, bless you, in that proper priority line. So, because notice what happens when we get caught up with any of those few things that were listed and bring no fruit to maturity. What was growing and developing is gotten just... The growth has been stymied. It doesn't come to maturity. They're not really involved in discipling people. They're not really involved in helping people out. They're not really engaged in caring for and sharing their faith anymore. They're not really engaged in anything. There's just really no fruit coming into maturity. Verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those having this again, heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. I want to talk about that just for a second. The operative with them is they keep it. They basically take ownership of what they've heard. They take ownership of what they heard. It becomes significant in their life. It's part of who they are. They assimilate it into their being. It becomes a part of the, they take ownership for what they've heard. Hey, this is God that has spoken something to me. They take ownership in it. They do something with it. It bears fruit because they took it in and it became theirs. Basically, this word patience there is endurance, or also the idea of it takes time for seed to germinate. Seed needs to germinate. The seed of God's word needs to germinate in our hearts. And as it germinates, it springs forth and bears fruit, you know, to God's glory. But it's all God that's doing all this. But this gets very significant as we turn our page and we look at this next little section where it says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it, in verse 16, under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will, For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and become and come to light. This is the key. We spent all this time to get to these little points, but they matter. If you don't build this out and see all of the, because we're hearing the same thing. We're hearing these things and we wonder, well, how come that person's really developing in this way? Because they're taking ownership of it. This has become theirs. It's not a storyline about just talking about Jesus. No, God's ministering to them. It's personal. It's something that's relevant and happening. He's alive. He wants to be engaged in the things that are happening. But we've got too many things going on. I've got to check this and see about that and learn from this and find out about who to go. You know, it's like it's craziness, you know? Because we get too involved in too many things that have nothing to do with what really matters. And what really matters is hearing what God would speak to us from His Word, and then everything else in our lives start to line in. We start finding we got some strength, we got some ability to develop and grow. Therefore, in verse 18, this is the key here. This is so significant, you must underline this. Even if you hate to underline in your Bible, you must. Therefore, take heed how you hear. We're all hearing the same thing. So the key then is, how am I hearing? It doesn't say what. It says how you hear. Take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. This is all about the Word of God. The whole focus is about your devotion time, my devotion time, the things we're reading, how we're soaking it up. Is this, if the seed of God's Word's been being put into our lives, and are we musing on it, thinking about it, contemplating it? Is it able to germinate? Am I allowing God to cultivate the soil in my heart to get this stuff to come and bear some kind of fruit? Am I too busy with these other things? You start seeing all of those things have to do with how I'm hearing it. And I think this can happen to us in the course of a day. We can go through some of these things too. So it's not just a singular position of, oh, well, we all want to be the, you know, the fourth group. I get it. I do. We all want to be that. But we got to be honest with ourselves. Am I, because I could go sometimes through phases throughout the course of a given day where I might kind of jump around from group to group to group, you know, in a different situation. That's true. So we want to be cautious, to be mindful of it, that we're taking heed how we hear. Think about this. For whoever has, to him more will be given. There will be more, more understanding. This is tied also when it says more will be given. It's tied to verse 16 and this light that's lit inside of you. This is the thing. Is the lamp getting brighter? The light of God's love, the light of who He is in you, is that light getting brighter? Or is it diminishing, becoming dimmer? Interesting thing to think on. How you and I hear, how we hear, impacts whether we're allowing this, because it sounds silly, doesn't it? No one, when he has a lamp, he's lit this lamp in his home, covers it with a vessel or puts it under the bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. Those who you interact with throughout the course of a given day, do they see the light? Is it evidenced? Not by what we say, not necessarily, but is it just evidenced by who we are, who we belong to? Then his mother and brothers came to him, in verse 19, and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers, the true family, those who he perceives are clearly part of his family, are these who hear the word of God and do it. It's come full circle all the way back around to that concept of we don't want to be like James said, we don't want to be hearers only, but be ye doers of the word. This is all said to us, and again it goes on, this is all about the word, and am I hearing the word, and am I doing the things that I'm hearing? In other words, am I responding to what I'm reading, to what God is ministering to me? Am I obedient to that? And am I an adherent to what he's speaking to me? Or am I hearing that and doing this? You see, it's contrary. And so we're hearing this and we're saying, oh yeah, I want to have this crop over here. Again, you go into this barn and the farmer's got these big, nice seed, you know, in these bags over here, nice seed bags over here. And he's wanting to have a wheat field. But he's grabbed these bags over here. This is all corn seed. And he goes out and he plants all this corn seed. Now he's done the same effort, whether he was planting the corn seed or wheat seed. It's the same effort. He's gone through the effort of the work, you know, done the process. And is watching this grow up. And he's like, this, I wanted a wheat crop. Well, you're planting the wrong stuff, man. Right? It's just like, it's a common sense thing. What are you thinking? But this is kind of the illustration that's drawn for us here. It's God's word. There's this purpose. There's this plan. There's something God's wanting to do in each and every one of our lives. God's speaking these things through his word. And we're all hearing. And we all have the same potential. It's just up to us. What are we going to do? Are we going to be doers of it? So when you go back to the storyline that we started with, two people, the wise one was building the house. He's heard the sayings, the things that Jesus has said. He's building his life on that truth that's there in the Sermon on the Mount. He's building his life around this. This is truth. I'm going to build my life around this. That's going to prove to be stable, good ground. Storm's going to come, but he's going to have the shelter of the Lord, the guidance of the Lord, the hope of the Lord. I hope that this has come full circle and it makes sense. Because you're going to live your life. We're all going to live our lives. We're all going to spend energy and effort doing certain things. And it's just, you gotta think through what really is gonna be mattering, what's gonna have significance, how is this gonna really pan out. And it's so important for us to think through it in this way of how is this gonna play out for me? How is this gonna play out for you? Every one of these people are hearing the same thing. If we want the wheat field, we gotta make sure we're planting wheat seeds. We're going to make sure we're hearing the right things, taking heed how we hear it, and then make sure we're doing what God's called us to, ask for us to do, speaking to our hearts of us to do. Father, we know that as you add certain things, you also take certain things, you open doors, you close doors. Lord, you have a will and an intent for each of our lives. Lord, so wonderfully illustrated through your word, how the seed of your word goes out. And Lord, you've got a purpose and a plan within that. You desire that there be fruit. And Lord, we want to be linked with you in that, in the right way. We want to be those who hear and are doing the things, we're subject to your word. In other words, we're yielding ourselves to your word, to your purpose, to your plan. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you that we can learn what it might mean, not just about everybody's hearing and there's two different results and one person's applying, one person's not. Pretty simple, but boy, how wonderful it is as it expands, as we see it playing out in Luke chapter 8. Lord, help us to walk in this truth. Help us to grow. Help us to think on this and reread and recontemplate this throughout the next few days. Lord, what a blessing your word is to each of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.